Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Nikki Nellis. I am live at the Gorgeous Line Hotel. It's industry night. You may know me from around town, the list areyouonit.com, the online e-zine that goes out to over 45,000 subscribers. If you're here staying at the Line Hotel and you're looking for fabulous things to do in and around the city, it is a calendar of every food and wine event going on in the DC metro area, as well as all those fabulous winter activations. Of course, you can hear me every Sunday live on 1500 with Foodie and the Beast. We just celebrated 11 years. And also catch me around on WTOP doing roundups on all the fun things happening in and around the city. Follow me on social at NYCCINELLIS to see all the fabulous things I'm buying and eating and doing. And most importantly, let's talk about what I'm doing today because I am so super excited. So unless you're living under a rock, perhaps you've heard about this little tiny show. It's been around for a while called Top Chef. I don't know. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't. But it's been around for a while, and they just announced their new season. It was announced yesterday to a whole bunch of fanfare, and I'm very excited because in with me is return guest Brian Voltaggio, who was on Top Chef. Which season were you on Top Chef?
It was season six.
Season six. But it was like the biggest season, I feel like.
I'd say it was.
Right? Like, it was like a crescendo.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was you, it was your brother Michael, Jen Carroll. Right. There was a lot of, I feel like your show and Mike Isabella's shows, I don't know if that's just because they're DC-centric, but I feel like those were the two shows that really, like, brought people to Top Chef.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, that's the one thing that we get a lot, you know, is that we love your season, you know, yours was the season we watched, and, you know, and I don't know, why I think maybe it's just the talent level that year was really, it was tough, you know, and there's a lot of great cooks and chefs on that one. I think we just got, Top Chef's been amazing, you know, and it's in its 17th season now.
But insane.
There was something that was special about season six. I have to say that.
Well, so for people who, let's pretend there are people out there that don't know what Top Chef is.
Right.
And who don't know who you are. Let's start a little bit first with Brian Voltaggio. You're Brian Voltaggio. Mm-hmm. You've been a chef in the DC market for 15 years?
Yeah. 15 I'd years? Say probably more than that now.
Because you started at Charlie Palmer's Steak, right?
Yeah, it was in 2003 when I moved back from New York when I was working for Charlie and opened that restaurant. And 5 years later, in 2008, we opened Volt. So we
have. You were only at Charlie Palmer Steak for 5 years.
Yes.
I feel like you were there longer.
So do I. it was a busy 5 years.
So for people who don't know, Volt is a very heavily awarded restaurant out in Frederick.
It's in Frederick.
So it is a day trip to go out there dinner.
I mean,
if you're staying at the hotel,
right? Yeah, if you're staying, there's a lot of cool little spots so you can stay overnight. Now we have a lot of bed breakfasts. Places are right in downtown, and we also now the inventory of rooms in Frederick has expanded, so there's plenty of hotel space, plenty of things to do, and not only that, I mean, now, like, over the last few years, there's just a lot more going on in downtown. There are a lot of breweries, a lot of distilleries, a lot of things that are food oriented, beverage oriented, that you could come and really spend the entire weekend, and plus there's a lot of shopping and stuff.
Well,
like
I was just gonna say, I mean, I could do the total upsell on Frederick for a weekend getaway, because you really can. There's fabulous places to stay. There's actually good Airbnbs if
there is.
You're of that ilk. And there's great places to eat. There are distilleries and breweries. But what I find most fascinating about Frederick per square foot is the local retail that's available.
Yes.
And art galleries.
Mm-hmm. No, downtown Frederick's very special. I mean, there's not a lot of, like, outside big brands, you know, that are in downtown. You know, we have one coffee shop that we all know the name of. It goes everywhere.
Okay.
You know? But other than that, it's all homegrown business. It's all, you know, it's people I went to high school with who have shops downtown.
That's
you know,
so
they're like doing really cool things. There's skateboard shops. There's women's clothing. There's olive oil and vinegar shops that are right next door to us. There's a lot of things. There's kitchen stores. I mean, there's plenty of things you can come. There's obviously antiques and stuff like that, too, because it's Frederick. But there's a lot to do. You know, there really is. And, you know,
how has Vault changed over the years?
Well, we're going into our 12th year. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely evolved, you know, I mean, certainly.
Because originally it was strictly fine dining, right?
Yeah, no. And we have, I mean, that's a thing. Everybody thinks that it's celebration only, that it's birthdays and anniversaries.
Right, destination dining.
Yeah, it's destination dining. This is, it can be an everyday restaurant. We have an a la carte menu. I mean, yes, we still run, we have a tasting menu as an opportunity for people to come in and
you have
spend
that side
more
room.
Time.
It's like the 21.
Yeah, we also have those 8 seats that are right in the kitchen, mm-hmm. you know, where literally the cooks and chefs and myself, we're serving dishes and we're talking about the dishes and we're going through that. And here's the thing that everybody gets confused. Everybody says, oh, I can never get a reservation there because they're always trying to get that table. And yes, that's the first seat that sells
right,
out.
Obviously.
You know, and I understand that. I mean, there's a time, you know, when I did the show previously, when I did Top Chef, for example, we were sold out a year in advance on that table. Well, that's not the case anymore. I mean, you know, we're sold out a month or so in advance.
Well, maybe after the new announcement,
well, yeah,
something will change.
Book reservations now.
Okay.
But, you know, the thing is that we have brunch on weekends, we have lunch on Fridays. So there's
other the beneficiary of brunch.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
There's plenty of opportunities for people to come in and experience that. We also have Family Meal, which is right over on East Street, which is runs parallel to Market Street. And then, you know, for those who are in Washingtonians or down in D.C., we just recently opened Estuary. So we just opened back in March. So Michael and I, this is a collaboration effort between the two of us. We opened this restaurant together. And we also have Voltaggio Brothers Steakhouse.
I was going to say, you also have the steakhouse in MGM.
Yeah, and that's we're in our third year now there, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. And that's been really
great.
Well,
let's sort of back up. So when you had Vault, mm-hmm. right, you open up Vault. It's just you
right.
doing it. And the call comes for Top Chef.
Yes.
What was it about
Literally,
Top...
it was a phone call that I got. And
but what was it about Top Chef that was of interest
you know,
to you?
I think it was because the first time around, I think it goes without saying, it'd be kind of hard to cast two brothers without them knowing,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
right.
yeah, of course, my brother and I, we both knew that we were in the running for a potential opportunity to go on the show. And so I'll never forget, one of the producers called and said, hey, you know, you want to come on and kick your brother's butt on TV? And I was like, all right, yeah, here we go. But Michael had already given me a phone call ahead of it and said, hey, they're going to be calling. And it was intriguing, you know, because, you know, I'd seen the show. I knew a lot about it. Marcel was actually working for my brother at Bazaar in L.A. So he had sort of like an inside scoop as to like what it was all about.
Okay.
You know, so Michael gave me sort of a heads up on that. And I think probably what it was more was we opened in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We opened Vault in summer, and in September, the economy kind of tanked. You know, I think everybody remembers that one.
Yeah.
And so I opened a destination-esque kind of like celebratory restaurant, you know, sort of, you know, fine dining in, you know, for the first time in Frederick during that recession. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, was it going to help that if I went on television that we would get some more reservations?
Raise your
yeah, of
value,
course,
of course,
you know. But I think, you know, after that, the first year, we... you know, we really started to take a turn anyway for the better, like after the first of the year. And so things were going good. But I went and I filmed it. And it was the best thing.
But so for people who
aren't
aware yeah. of, like, what is it that you have to go through when you're in it? You know, not
oh,
that
when you're in it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you disappear.
Yes.
For how long?
Well, I can't tell you that.
Okay, roughly. Not for this, but I mean, like,
a specific
roughly.
Time period,
so you're gone
yeah.
for a specific time. Can you talk
yeah.
to your family?
Not really.
Can
no.
you talk like you're?
No, I mean because a part of it is, I guess, what I can talk to is that you know you have no outside resources or outside connections to the outside world because literally when you go, you're going with whatever's in your head. You
okay.
know, so there's no recipes, there's no notes, there's no phone, there's no you know look this thing up on Google. That stuff stripped away, and
wow.
for good reason because
right.
you know wanted it to be a fair competition, and so that's predominantly the reason why, and also so that they you know nobody can really figure out where you are in the competition.
Sure.
So,
but I don't know. I think like your dad and
yeah,
you also had a business for the first like, mm-hmm. weren't you like, oh my god?
Oh, it was scary.
Do you know what I mean? Like
don't
leaving
get me wrong.
It all behind.
Worked my entire career to open that restaurant,
right?
And then I left it after 7 months to go.
And
for
do this.
An undetermined amount of time
right.
to film this television show.
To be with a bunch of
and,
people that you didn't know other than your brother.
Yeah, and when I got there quickly, I started to realize there were some familiar faces like Jen Carroll, who I knew of.
Right.
And obviously Kevin Gillespie, who I knew of from Atlanta. Obviously
uh-huh.
I knew of Mike, you know, and I knew of my brother, of course.
Right.
And so, and then there's some other familiar names because that year, you know, when we did season 6, it seemed like everybody was either on a James Beard list for a nominee or had been there previously. I mean, it was a good cast.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
of chefs.
Amazing.
And so it definitely changed the game.
And did you walk away and think that was an amazing experience afterwards? I mean, it looks the way they cut and edit it, it looks brutal.
It is. It's not easy.
I mean, it makes my heart beat.
Yeah, it's not easy at all. I mean, you know, the cool thing is, and I think what I loved about it the most is that when you're on that, there's because you're not really connected to the outside world, because there's not really a lot going on other than you're just cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you literally get to set everything aside, you know. You get to go into the challenges and just focus on food. And that's, you know, as a chef and a restaurant owner and, you know, whether you're executive chef, kitchen manager, you know, if you're running a crew and anywhere, you know, there's all kinds of other outside influences. Plus, you have family life. You have everything else outside of just work. And so that kind of gets peeled away, you know. And so the only thing you have is you're the chefs that you meet there, you know, who ultimately become your friends. You know, if you're a friendly person, which I've done pretty well, you know, making friends with everybody, and food. And that's it. Like, that's all. And so it's kind of like, you know, it's like chef summer camp in a way. It's like, it's a lot of fun. You know what I mean? You just get to go and just focus on
but
that.
But is it day after day after day after
day? Oh, yeah.
Are there breaks in there? I mean, I feel like, you know, we don't get to see the whole thing, obviously, nor would we want to. But how to, like, is there enough time where you get to, like, regroup for yourself? Or is you're just under the gun the whole time?
No, I mean, I can't really talk to the details of how the production works, but what I can tell you is that you're always on, you know what I mean? Like, it's always go time. You never know what's going to happen. There's never a clue as to what the next challenge is going to be, despite the fact that you're always sitting there trying to guess. You never know.
Right. You have no idea.
You never know what's going to happen.
They don't give clues, do they?
No, never. Right. Never. So
now that you've gone, now that you're going back, do it again.
I know.
Does it feel like when they first asked you, were like, yeah? I mean, are you like, yes, like, obviously I'm going to do this?
No, it took some time to decide, you know, because again, you know, I'll be going back and spending a lot of time away.
After just opening up a restaurant.
Just opening another restaurant. You know, the fortunate thing now is my brother and I, we work a lot closer together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, it's obvious the winners can't go back.
Right.
So he's going, so he's going to be able to stay home at home base and keep things moving. And so, you know, for me to go back and do this again, you know, it's for a lot of the same reasons. You know, the fact that I get to go just cook, just focus on food, you know. Yeah, I want another shot at the title, you know.
Sure.
I do. You know,
I've never met a chef who isn't competitive.
Yeah, this will be my third time doing it. You know, I was a runner up twice.
Oh my God.
Already.
Always a bridesmaid.
And, in both Top Chef Season 6 and Masters. And so, you know, I feel like my time's due, you know, so it's time to go.
You're the Susan Lucci.
I know, right?
So now that you're back there, when you got there, I know you can't talk about particulars, but we do know who else is in this season with you. I mean, did you show up and you were like, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because, you know, you don't know who's going to be there. You never know, because they keep that stuff, you know, a surprise. And so showing up and seeing two other chefs from my season, you know, both Kevin and Jen, was exciting because, you know, I do feel like we had a really strong season, you know, and I think that just kind of goes to show, you know, that, you know, to bring them back, I think is this continuation of something that was really special in that time. I mean, there's been a lot of special seasons since then, you know, there really has, but I feel like ours is great.
I mean, it feels that way to
know,
me, so.
Like, yeah, they're my friends, though, too, and I'm here to try to win. So part of it's like also a little bit nerve-wracking, you know.
But don't you also think, like, given the audience, Top Chef devotees already know who you are. They're already aware of your personality and how you get along or go along or how you play with those in the sandbox. Do you know what I mean? Like, the assholes are the assholes. They're still going to, they haven't changed.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And so people are either tuning in because they love to see somebody who behaves like that or they love to see somebody who's intense and, you know, executes beautifully. Like, everybody's tuning in for their own thing. So there's no surprises as far as, like, the bad guy.
Right.
Right? You know how there's always sort of one or two people who are...
You asking who the bad guy is?
No. I'm just saying, like...
Oh, because I don't know. I know everybody was good. Yeah,
I'm
everybody's
not
great.
With everybody on the list. I mean, you know, I know what? Jen, I know Eric, and I know you.
Yeah.
I know Kevin.
Yeah, and Eric, you know, obviously another DC person, you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
great
yeah.
to have him. So no, everybody is amazing. Mm-hmm. I get along with every single one of these chefs, and you know, there isn't, you know, some I've met for the first time, you know, mm-hmm. but I've known of them. I mean, sure. I know of every single one of them, of course.
Well, you're in a very special club.
It is, you know, you start to realize that, like, how many people who have ever done this, you know, there's mm-hmm. not a lot, you know, there really isn't. So it's kind of cool, you know, to be a part of it. It's always been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's opened up so many opportunities. You know, just, you know, I remember the first time I ever did it was, it was funny because the, you know, our local newspaper and stuff, they ran an article like when they first announced it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that both Michael and I were going, and it just kind of, I jokingly say this, but you know, it was the first time I ever signed an autograph. I was at a gas station. I was pumping gas in Frederick, and I was just like there doing my thing. This guy comes up to me. He's like, "Hey man, can you sign this?"
Oh,
I've told this story. Like, I was like, "Yeah, cool." And it was his gas receipt. And I was like, I don't even know why I responded, because of course I knew just by signing my name, I wasn't paying for his gas. But I was like, "No, dude, I'm not paying for your gas."
Right.
And he was like, no, I want your autograph, man. Like, I saw your picture over there. You're on the front of the newspaper. You're going to be on that show. And I was like,
"Oh, cool."
That's when it clicked. I was like, wow, this is, something's going to change. Like, this is crazy. You know?
I have to assume when you came back from Top Chef the first time.
Right.
People came to Volt. Not just because your food is fabulous, but because they wanted a piece of you.
Yeah,
right?
there's both sides of it. Yeah, and what that's what I think is so special about it is given the opportunity to be able to connect to so many people with food
mm-hmm.
on such a huge level. You know what I mean? To be able to get connected with so many people so fast, and so they get insight as to who you are and your food. Obviously, when they see you on your show, and they want to come and see you, whether they're coming here because they've heard of the restaurant or because they saw me,
right?
You know, and so. But no matter what, it just, as a chef, because I love what I do and I love to be able to cook for people and I love to be able to just, you know, make their day special. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to get connected to so many people so quickly, it's just been an amazing ride.
So let's talk a little bit about your trajectory.
Yeah.
You open up Volt,
mm-hmm.
Followed by Family Meal.
Yes.
And, but you know, you and your brother do Top Chef together. He goes off and does his own thing mm-hmm. in LA,
right? He opened Inc.
And then how did you guys decide to start working together? Because I know the MGM in National Harbor, but did you do something in Vegas first or did you?
No, it was just with MGM. So
the very first
thing that Michael and I ever collaborated on was a restaurant in Mumbai, India. So we consulted on it. And
they put your name on it?
No, so we worked with a restaurant owner who wanted to open up a place in Colaba, which is in Mumbai, and he was our partner, and we opened up the restaurant. Up to the point of opening, we consulted. So we didn't stay on board afterwards. You know, we did it with a few other people. Ultimately, the restaurant opened, it, you know, had some success, and then, you know, it eventually closed because the owner moved to L.A. So
as that happens.
But that was our first collaboration.
Okay.
So that was back in 2012, I believe. So
okay.
It was a while ago. And then, but then beyond that, so that was when Michael and I first started working together on it. We started to realize, hey, this would be kind of cool. We should do something back at home.
Well, you did
and
a book together.
We did. So Volt Inc. was the first project we did together.
I have that book.
You do? Uh-huh. Thank you.
I think I have two copies.
Anybody looking for one for holidays?
I have an extra one if you want it. It's a great book.
So then we started working with MGM and started working on that project together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in 2016 we opened.
I think what's interesting about MGM is that for both of you, I was sort of fascinated that it was a steakhouse concept.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you came from Charlie Palmer Steak, which
right.
was a steakhouse,
mm-hmm.
even though not really a steakhouse, there was so much more. I feel like when people come to D.C. from out of town, they feel like they have to call it a steakhouse, even if it isn't, just
right.
because it appeals to the D.C. sensibility.
Yeah. But we're more than that now.
Of course. But what was appealing about the MGM gig?
I think it was just the fact the, you know, it was, even though we are from Frederick, we're from Maryland, we're from this area, we're from this region. And, you know, for Michael and I to have opportunity to open up a restaurant together in our first one here,
mm-hmm.
I think that was probably the most appealing part. You know, MGM is a great partner. They obviously have a huge bandwidth, you know, when it comes to food and beverage program. And we just wanted to be a part of it. It was going to be something that was going to be special. I mean, they created a world-class resort, you know, right mm-hmm. here in our backyard. And so we wanted to be a part of something like that. And, you know, and you know, obviously Jose is there too, and so there's, you know, there's obviously there's good company.
it's a great property,
and so we jumped on that opportunity, and we wanted to be a part of it. And I think we were from the inception of the planning for food and beverage. Mm-hmm. We were always going to be a part of it. So. So we're proud to, you know, that they chose us to be.
And so since that was your first time working with a hotel, it was mm-hmm. a real positive experience.
It was. It was very positive. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, as an independent restaurant owner, mm-hmm. you start to realize that when you get an opportunity, you know, to work with partnerships like that, where there's experts involved in every facet of the business. There's somebody who's in charge of the marketing. There's somebody in charge of this, somebody in charge of that. There's somebody in charge of making sure that the light bulbs are changed. It's like the biggest pet peeve I have in my restaurant. And so, you know, those little things that you just sit there and just solely focus on the food, going back to the reason why like I like going on Top Chef. You know, mm-hmm. you just focus on the cuisine. So it's refreshing because, you know, as you're going to expand, and, you know, I've expanded and I've, you know, come back to things, you know, and, you know, over the last few years. And so I realized that more of my partnerships moving forward and opening new spaces involving other people, you know, when there's a group of people who are there for one
effort. It's not all on you.
Exactly. It makes it easier to expand your portfolio of restaurants because there's people who are there doing the day to day and making sure that things are happening. Mm-hmm. And then we're in there, you know, creating the menu, creating the experience, creating the atmosphere. And that's the stuff that, you know, the guest will resonate with the guests. And mm-hmm. so we're able to do that. And so, you know, it makes things more efficient, you know,
sure.
It makes things, it makes it so that I can touch more guests, you know, and our food can be in front of more people, which mm-hmm. is, what I love to do. And I get to do it with a lot of professionals.
So at MGM though, how often are you there?
I was there twice this week already.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah,
so
I'm there a lot.
Because I wonder for people who don't know the industry,
right,
and they go to a Brian Voltaggio restaurant, like if mm-hmm. they go out to Volt and you're not there, like do they expect you to be there? You know,
they're like,
I want to see Top
yes.
Chef Brian Voltaggio.
Right. I know.
How do you handle that?
How do I handle that? I split my time, you know, between all of my restaurants as effectively as I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I need to be there for certain menu rollouts or, you know, special events or whatever it is. So sometimes the calendar dictates when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, giving my chefs extra time off or whatever it is, you know, or sometimes I just like to go into Volt and kick a chef off a station and take it over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
sure.
sometimes I just like to be a line cook. And mm-hmm. so I'm not saying that, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to what my schedule is. It's more, it's needs based, you
okay.
know, for sure. And then a lot of it also is, you know, where I want to make sure that I'm spending time equally in all the spaces.
Sure.
But I live in Frederick. I mean, so there's no, you know, there's no doubt that I spend more time there. I mean, I really do.
Right.
Volt. But you know, at Estuary,
well,
for example,
sort of
I'll
your,
be,
Volt is sort of your, like, it's sort of the diamond in the crown, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's my, you know, for me personally, I mean, even though my brother and I have restaurants together now, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that is my flagship. That's the restaurant that I opened, you know, almost 12 years ago. I mean, that is the restaurant that you know, where my knives always are, you know, or at least one set, you know?
So,
and so, yes, you know, I spend most of my time there, and in Frederick, but then, you know, for example, today I'm down in District. I'm with you, and I'll
right.
be going over to Estuary because we're going to be working on. We're actually have a new menu that's going to be rolling out next week, Feast of the Seven Fishes. So
right.
we're going to be working on, you know, final platings and training with the staff and the team on those dishes.
Well, let's back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the Conrad Hotel.
It is.
So another hotel property.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only restaurant in the hotel.
It is.
And what was your? How did you work with the hotel to? Did they come to you? Did you have a vision?
Yeah, so
the whole thing.
So I got to know both the ownership of the hotel and in the developer City Center,
mm-hmm.
Which is Hines,
and
then also executives at Hilton. And during the time when they were planning the hotel,
mm-hmm.
They reached out to me for an opportunity to bring a concept to the space. This was 3 years before the opening date.
Okay.
You know, so it takes a long time.
They take forever.
They do take forever. You know, we were on board, you know, from that point moving forward, working with them, developing the concept and, you know, obviously the offerings that we're going to have at Estuary and how that was going to tie in, you know, to the overall design and scope of the hotel and the restaurant itself. You know, we made some minor tweaks in the kitchen, and then, you know, Michael and I came on board and we opened and launched the restaurant back in March. And
so did they come up with the name Estuary?
No,
or
we
was
did.
That you?
No, we did.
Because, you know, why did you name it Estuary?
Why?
Yeah, I'm just curious because I have, like, having been there as much as I have, uh-huh. like, I'm just sort of curious because of the way the hotel, you know,
is shaped,
like, is sort of like a river.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's actually the atrium is shaped like Switzerland from the designers.
Oh, my God, is it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so if you look up in the atrium,
right,
it is the shape of Switzerland.
Oh.
So Rote, the designer, is Swiss, and so they
yeah,
they,
that
they
I knew
that.
With the big
yeah.
pen. Okay, that yeah. I didn't know. But,
so, but then
like,
those
if you're
lines,
in the lobby, do you know what I mean? And you're, like, walking yeah. into the restaurant. I feel like you're like on a.
You know
windy...
what? I'm gonna start using that. Thank
well, I
you.
Thought that's why. I
why
literally
not?
Thought that's why you named
I think
it
it's
Estuary.
Great.
Okay.
No, it has to do. You know, both Michael and I, we grew up in around Chesapeake region. We're uh-huh. from here. You know, I've been here for a long time now, cooking. You know, since I moved back in 2003 from New York, and connected to growers, ranchers, fishermen, watermen. You know, all of these people that are bringing these great ingredients from our region. We want to celebrate that as much as possible. That's what we want this restaurant to be all about. You know. From when I first got back here in 2003 until now, yeah, we're more than a steakhouse town. You know, mm-hmm. steakhouses are so, you know, important. It's a meal I love. You know what I mean? So I love having our steakhouse at MGM. But there's more now. And I don't know why we were labeled that in D.C. I mean, maybe it's politically related. I mean, maybe we thought politicians at steak are a thing. But who knows? But we've gone beyond that, but for a number of reasons.
It's an old
one
trope.
Because yeah, it is, and I'm glad we're beyond it. But mm-hmm. you know, so there's such a great young talent pool of chefs that are around here bringing new and exciting cuisine to the city. But only that, there's a lot of people now who have changed their ways about getting us ingredients.
Right.
And that's what's changed over the last 15 years.
Well, and you've
in this
been
region.
On the forefront of that.
We try, and,
you know,
but I'm not putting stuff in the ground. You know, it's up to the farmers and the growers who are doing it, but they're doing it because they have an outlet for it now, because mm-hmm. they have chefs like us who want it, and there's also they have a clientele and people, residents in this area who are looking for this. And so gone are commodity crops, and now we're starting to see market vegetables. And so that's changed dramatically from when we first moved here, and so or when I first moved back here, and so. It's an exciting time to cook here,
mm-hmm.
you know, in D.C. And that's why, and I'm really glad that people like Tom Seitzman supports the fact that this is one of America's greatest food cities right now. It
Without
really
a doubt.
Is. It really is.
No, it's
you know?
A good time to
and,
be here.
And so I'm proud of all the chefs and the growers, the ranchers and everybody else who are contributing to this, because there's a big story to tell about Mid-Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad that we're a part of it.
Excellent. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the dining experiences coming up at Estuary,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll wrap up with Top Chef.
Thank you.
This is Nikki Nellis. We're live on Industry Night at the Lion Hotel. We'll be back in just a sec.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Nikki Nellis live at the Line Hotel Industry Night on Full Service Radio. You can tune in anytime to hear any of the shows that we do here. But right now, I'm talking with Brian Voltaggio. You may have heard his name before. He was on season 6 of Top Chef, and he's coming back. Top Chef again is coming up. It was just announced yesterday. It's season 17. It's All Stars in LA. At least it was a sunny space to go to. And not that you probably saw the light of day, but he's back. He's doing it again. He's putting himself through it. I'm not sure why. I don't know if I would do that personally. But when we went to break, we were talking about the new restaurant that he and his brother opened here in D.C. in the Conrad Hotel called Estuary. And I know at Volt, you've always worked with local farmers or tried to work as much as possible with what's in your backyard. And you brought, actually, a couple years ago, you brought me and my family out to a farm that you were working with. It was
Big White Barn.
Fabulous, so seeing how you were working with them and the kinds of products they were creating for you, it was a great experience. So at a hotel like Estuary, you know, at the Conrad and working in Estuary at as the restaurant, are you still able to bring some of those special touches to work locally?
Are,
do you know what I mean?
No, and that's a great thing about working with them as a partner. When we set up to open this restaurant, it was really important to us that we had access to those ingredients. And so, you know, I think there's probably a lot of hotels and restaurants, and I mean, depending on like the concept and what's there, where they might not have as many vendors as what we have, you know, because we have a lot of people who are bringing products. You know, we're working with a lot of people that are right in our region, our backyard. But then there's also really great co-ops too that work, you know, as a conglomerate to bring ingredients to one. That's the hardest thing that farmers have is access to chefs through distribution.
Right. Distribution is like they'll all say, I have the product. I have the client. I just can't get it there.
Right.
It's one of the hardest parts.
So, you know, we need to be responsible going to markets, which there's a market, you know, right in City Center, you know, on every Wednesday.
Farmer's Market. Fresh Farm
and
Market.
Sometimes we go down and we do demonstrations, not only from the restaurant or from the hotel. Some of our chefs will go down and participate, but we also can get access to ingredients. Not only that, then, you know, there's also people that, like Tuscora, which is probably one of the biggest co-ops in the area, where they come down from Pennsylvania and just north, in north up by me, actually, near in Frederick County, and they gather all of the ingredients from the farmers and then bring it down and make it easier for chefs to make, you know, purchases. Earth and Eats is also another one that does the same thing.
And so
that enables us to buy organic products and you know, responsibly source ingredients because they're really close to us, they're within our watershed. You know, they're all things that we can put onto the menu and feel really good about.
And so for people who haven't been to Estuary, I mean, I know it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Are you behind the breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus?
Yes.
Or is it just dinner?
So we are, I mean, all of the menus, you know, we have a hand or a voice in, but for most part, it's lunch and dinner that Michael and I are we author those menus. But we have influence on breakfast and especially brunch. You know, brunch is a big thing that we are.
This is a big brunch town.
It is a big brunch town. And so we're doing a lot of great and interesting fun things for brunch. You know, we also just launched a tasting menu not that long ago, you know, so people can come in and experience the tasting of our menu. And then next week, you know, as I just mentioned earlier, we're going to be launching a Feast of the Seven Feast of the Seven Fishes. You
know, I know, it going just doesn't into, sound right coming off the tongue.
I know, it doesn't, right? but it's
your
a great
feast,
menu.
What days are you doing feast?
So we're starting next week.
Okay,
so,
all week?
And that'll be our tasting menu, yes. So we'll
including
be running,
Christmas Day?
We're not going all the way through Christmas Day, but it'll be our tasting menu during that time.
Okay.
Christmas Day will be our own special brunch that will start at noon, and it'll go until the early evening.
Okay, great. So give us a little glimpse of the feast.
So,
and is that something
see.
You grew up with? Because you and your brother, you're Italian. It's an Italian
family. Yeah, we are. You know, but we didn't have a lot of people who ate seafood in our family.
Okay.
And Michael and I, yes. But so we, but Italian American dishes were always a part of our, and will
your
be
holidays.
Continue to be a part of our holidays.
So was it lots of pasta growing up?
Yeah, lots of pasta. Lots of pasta.
But so, not lots of seafood.
For me, yes, but not for everyone in our family.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So what can we look for on the menu?
So on the menu, so we're going to be starting out with a couple of different snacks that'll be a part of the menu. Some lightly citrus-cured dill pickled shrimp. We're going to have little profiteroles with smoked trout that'll have caviar on it. It's going to be pretty luxurious.
Upscale.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We will be doing a bolognese made with squid and calamari, which you might have seen in one of my restaurants before.
Right.
We'll be serving sole. It'll be from Virginia. That'll be served, you know, with brown butter and capers and lemon. And so, you know, really classic flavors, dishes that are exciting, warm, good, you know, I think hearty flavors for the season, you know, things that are reminding you of, you know, I don't know, Christmas gatherings, you know,
right.
It's about sharing food. A lot of these,
so
a lot of these dishes
style?
Will be, a lot of these dishes will be hitting the center of the table, encouraging people to share. It's going to be a fun new addition to the menu.
Well, and I have to say, if you haven't been to Estuary, it does look out on the fabulous Christmas tree in City Center. It has a beautiful view.
It is the most amazing view, I think, in
yeah,
the district. Yeah, there's a couple of fun ones that kind of overlook the Capitol because I've been there and I've done that. But
right.
You know what? that park that, you know, that you overlook from Estuary's windows, because we have floor-to-ceiling glass.
I know, it's really fabulous.
There's no hotels in the area that have that. I mean, in our rooms, all the way through the entire property, it's like that. So it's pretty amazing. So it lets the outside in and, you know, you're just this really comfortable sleek space, and you overlook the Christmas tree and just all the festivities that are going on down there. It's fun.
Right. There's an ice maze this weekend.
I know there is. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's going to be cool.
It is very cool. Okay. So you are doing brunch on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And can we talk a little bit about brunch? Because I know you guys rolled it out Saturday, Sunday. What's the deal?
Yeah. So Saturday, Sunday, we do brunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, brunches, you know, dishes that are only, you know, we have some dishes that are only served during that time. We're doing, you know, cool things like a waffle dish with crispy fried quail. We're doing a croque madame dish that has Suriano ham, you know, it's right here from Virginia with, you know, beautiful brioche that we toast.
I had your Suriano ham yesterday.
You did?
I did. It was delicious.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously have a few omelets on the menu, and we have breakfast breads, and we're doing, you know, a really amazing cocktail cart where they come around and make champagne cocktails, you know, at your table.
Fabulous.
Which is, yes. Have you experienced that one?
I have not experienced
it. You need to come
it.
Back
I know.
For
I need
because,
to come back.
Yes. Because that is,
that sounds like
at
fun.
Least for me, that's yeah, that's a lot of fun. So, so brunch is a newer thing, you know, for us there. You know, we launched with it, you know, as being an extension of breakfast, but now it's becoming its own thing. And, you know, we really want this to be a Washingtonian gathering spot for brunch.
Which I totally get. So that's Estuary. What are you guys doing for New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, we'll be doing a multi-course menu. It'll be a five-course menu.
Two seatings?
More than two seatings,
okay.
I think. You know, it'll be, you know, we want this space to be your destination, you know, to gather to then if you're going to head off to somewhere else. Or if you want to spend, you know, come in the later part and spend, you know celebrating New Year's with
Drop
us.
Drop the ball there.
Absolutely. We have an amazing bar and a lounge, you know, that's right there on the third floor, you know, with plenty of space, and so we look forward to that. It's going to be a great celebration.
And I assume you're doing something big at Volt as well.
Yeah, Volt. You know, every year we do again similar. We do a multi-course gala menu with an earlier seating and a later seating. You know, obviously our guests stay and they celebrate the new year with us. The earlier one, you know, typically people are going off to another party or something like that, but we're continuing the tradition. You know, we are getting near full reservations, so if you're looking for one, book it now.
Right.
you know, and but it's great. It's gonna be. I look forward to bringing in 2020 there because it's gonna be.
Well,
know,
since
we're looking at 12 years now with that restaurant,
so it's amazing. Congratulations! Mm-hmm. So going into 2020, you're kicking it off with a bang, doing Top Chef.
Yes,
I know you can't discuss the particulars, but can we, like, when does the show start? When can we look forward to watching
it? Starts March. I want to say the official date is the 19th.
March 19th.
Hmm. Yeah, I have to
you're
look
right.
At the
I got
March
it.
March 19th.
Thursday, March
yes,
19th.
It's on Thursdays.
So, I mean, I know this is ahead, but like, will there be watch parties, stuff like that? Like, are you going to like rock this out or are you going to stay back and let us watch it? How do you want to do it?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I haven't thought that far in advance. You know, it's kind of surreal, you know, this whole thing just announced again yesterday that I'm doing it. And so,
and does that, elevate your level? Like, are people like, I mean, because you already headlined so many things. Like, you're very involved with Share Our Strength. That's why you came in last time. Does that elevate, like, people being like, hey, Brian, come do, you know, the Cayman Island Food and Wine Festival? Or, hey, come, does it, well, are I'd people like already asking you to do that stuff?
Great.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, those food and wine festivals all over
the place? I do a lot of them. And, you know, fortunately, I try to create a balance where I'm spending a lot of time in my restaurants and time at home now. So, you know, not that I say I pick and choose, but I try to not just travel so much, you know?
Sure.
So I try to, because I've done a lot of that, you know, but I do, there's events I'd love to do every year. I love doing Aspen Food and Wine. I love doing, I do Bottle Rock every year with Williams-Sonoma in Napa. I do Pigs and Pinot with Charlie. I think I'm the only resident chef who basically gets asked every year to do that.
Right.
So I'll be doing that in March. And that'll be the weekend after the first episode of this. So March 19th, I'll be doing that. And then Pigs and Pinot is that next weekend. So
Where is Pigs and Pinot?
It's in Healdsburg.
Okay.
In Sonoma.
In Sonoma.
So, yeah.
Cool.
It's a good event.
I bet.
And so... Yeah, there's you know events that I do every I hopefully get asked to do a couple things like Cayman Island sounds pretty nice.
Don't you know that Cayman Island? Like
yeah, I know. Jose, oh, I know it. Yeah, and, I know it very well.
Eric Repair. There's a whole crew from here that goes down.
All right, Eric and Jose.
Yeah.
Can I get an invite?
Okay. Well, let's put that out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming in. Congrats on all the success. And I guess all I can say right now is good luck.
Thank you.
Right until and maybe. When it's all over, we can come back and like sort of hash it out and find out about like what you were feeling really and experiencing at the time. Cause I'd love to know.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Well, so
thank
everybody,
you for having me again.
Absolutely. Brian Voltaggio. You'll see him on March 19th on the new Top Chef LA. Of course you can find him at Estuary at the Conrad Hotel, at the MGM, at Voltaggio Steak, and at Volt or Family Meal. Are you still hopping into Family Meal?
Yeah.
I love Family Meal.
Yeah.
It's great. Anyway, well, ton of restaurants to check out. Want to thank my guests for joining me today, and I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This is Nikki Nellis, live at the Line Hotel on Industry Night on Full Service Radio. Find me at Nikki Nellis, NYCCINELLIS, for all the goods in the D.C. area. Thank you again for joining me, and have a delicious week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.